Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the CAPS Playbook podcast, the tactical, practical podcast for all of our CAPS network educators and innovators. I am so excited for today's conversation because I'm talking to Mackenzie Luters, who is somebody I learn from every time I talk to her, so I know you're in for a good treat today. And Mackenzie is the teacher education instructor at Blue Valley CAPS, and she's going to tell us about her kind of initiative at the beginning of the semester to get to know her students called Portrait Representation. Mackenzie, welcome, and I'm going to let you take it away and tell us about your project.
All right. Hi, thanks. I love to get to know my students. It's how my classroom functions. And I've grown over the last 14 years of being in education to realize that students, we shouldn't put students in boxes. So the get to know you form, it serves its purpose. But if we allow students to share about themselves without boundaries, you'll find that you learn so much more. So I do on the very first day, I don't know my students beyond, I've just learned their names, and I have them do a portrait representation. And I start out by telling them there are no rules, there are no boundaries other than putting something that might be inappropriate, and they can literally take it however they want. What I ask them to do is I ask them to share anything that they feel like has made them who they are. So I don't even provide examples, but it could be family. Some like to tell me the sports or activities that they're in. Others tell me about an event that happened. They'll draw a little something, and it'll be an event that happened 5 years ago, maybe good or bad, but led them to where they are now or to what they want to do now. So really not putting students in a box and not having those boundaries allows them to share what they feel comfortable with and allows them to be individuals, because I do feel like those generic questions that we're always asking really does put them in a box, and students are so much more than just giving answers to prompted questions. And students are far more creative than I can ever be, and which is, again, why I don't even like to show them examples of past student work, because then they get so focused on that's all they can see. And I get way cooler, way more information from them than if I would give them a rubric to follow. So, yeah.
Well, I love that. And when you were telling me about this, the things that were popping through my head were things like when we're talking about like our five core values, right? So I think one of the ways that we're hitting on those here is that it's allowing for a lot of self-exploration and discovery, right? It feels like an opportunity for students to maybe think about themselves in a different way than they have before. Do you have any prompts you give them? Like it's a self-portrait, but do you say, hey, think about it? Maybe, I don't know, what would somebody else say about you? Is there anything like
I do say, I want you to think about what you deem important about yourself at this moment. Whether it's thoughts, maybe it's identity. A lot of them are exploring their identity in this world. What do you think is important about you? And then maybe how did you get there? And again, that's so different. We have people that are experiencing like family composition identity. I just found out that I have a grandparent that was this ethnicity and I didn't know. And how does that shape me? So to watch them work through that and how they process it is cool. And then I have other students that are very literal, and they do give me what I call the generic responses, which is also fine. That's what they feel is what makes them who they are. I should note too, they can't put their name anywhere on it. So that when I'm kind of going through them, I have to kind of try to see if I can figure it out, but they do have to put on the back yes or no, if we can share it as a class. Again, I don't ever want to make students share anything with me or with others that they're not comfortable with. However, if they do want their fellow classmates that they're going to be working with for the entire semester to know them a little better, I do give them that opportunity. And more times than not, it's a yes. They do want us. And so it's kind of fun. We hold it up there. I read through it And it's the coolest part about being a teacher, because I don't know what so much of it means. I mean, some of them are actual physical portraits, like jigsaw pieced together. And it's so much deeper than anything I could talk about. So I kind of try to describe it. We kind of guess. And then the student gets the chance to describe it. And so it's a really just cool bonding moment. And it also very quickly allows people to see how they're the same and then differences. And I think both are important for students to see, to understand the differences, but also to know that there's always going to be similarities among all of us. And we all have some common ground.
Cool. So I kind of want to stick with this idea of the conversation that comes out of sharing these things, right? And so I think it opens, like you said, opens up for a lot of these conversations to talk about similarities and differences. But I'm also curious, what are the things that you learn? Like, how do you respond as an instructor to some of these things that you're finding out? Or how does it inform the way you handle your class environment?
Absolutely. You can tell a lot from what a student chooses to write down on paper. You can tell if they're going to be more guarded. You can tell if they're going to be open. So right off the bat, I can tell who are my students that I mean, this is the first day. Like, I don't know anything about these people. And so right off the bat, it tells me, who can I kind of ask for some feedback? Who can I get engaged right off the bat? I mean, of course, ultimately, we'll get everybody engaged. Who, if I'm pairing people up or having them work on something, this person seems very expressive. This person seems very black and white. Would they work well together? Would they not? You can also see some similarities, and the conversation that it sparks is also awesome, because a kid across the room will be like, oh my gosh, no way. Hey, that happened to me, or whatever. And instantly then the next day you'll see the seating arrangement change. So students come in because I don't have a seating arrangement, and they'll be like, hey, I wanted to talk to you about this, and they'll sit next to each other. And so again, I can watch how that evolves. I can watch the kid that chose not to share for whatever reason. And I can kind of watch, I wonder why they didn't want to share. Is it because they're ashamed, or they're just shy? And it instantly gives me we don't want to share for some reason, let me figure out what that reason might be. And so I'm paying attention to that kid as well. So there's a lot of things that are happening that kids don't realize that I'm observing, that I'm picking up on, that are going to help me understand class dynamics far earlier than you typically get them, because you have to get to know each other and you have to figure out the flow of your classroom. And so it comes with time. And I don't like that time. I want to know my students early, and I want to know that dynamic early. And so those conversations really help me see a lot of things. And we do, because I'm in teacher ed, we do later in the semester, come back and I'll tell them all the things I was watching, all the things I was seeing. They're like, no way. You were thinking way more about that than we realized. Like, that's what teachers do. Absolutely.
That's the point. There was
more reason than you all ever guessed.
Yeah.
As to why I was doing that. Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, and I wonder, to that point though, like revisiting it, for instructors out there in the model that don't necessarily do teacher education, right? Yeah. There's a lot more. You might think that, like, hey, maybe the engineers or the science people aren't doing a lot of interpersonal work, but you are, right? You are. You're doing a lot of interpersonal work, no matter which strand or which industry you're focused on. But I also wonder if you can take this concept of portrait representation and also make it maybe aspirational those of it. So maybe you're not quite as comfortable talking about students as they are now, but let's maybe make a portrait of what it looks like when you are an engineer. What is a portrait when you are a healthcare service person, right? So I think there's lots of ways that our practitioners can maybe take this and tweak it.
Absolutely. And it's fascinating. Just the different interpretations. I have people that just describe themselves, and that's how they see themselves, you know? And so it just opens the doors to so many. I mean, immediately I had a student this semester turn in something, and it was so beautifully written, both physically, like calligraphy written, and the word choice she had was so amazing. And I needed something done for my class. And I was like, okay, I can probably do this. And instantly I was like, no, she's the perfect person. And so I mean, within a week I went to her and I was like, hey, I have this like little mini project that I kind of need done. how could you like help me brainstorm? And she was like, oh my gosh, okay, hold on. And she sat down and outlined the whole thing and
I
was like,
love
this is
it.
all you have to do. And I'm like, absolutely, like we need to be utilizing student skills. And so it was really just cool for her to, so early in the classroom, I knew that she possessed a skill set that I probably wouldn't have seen until much later, to accomplish actually a real world project that we were doing in our class. And so she was kind of the author of it, which was amazing.
So cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing this because like I said, I think it's applicable for all of us, but is also something that is really telling and creative and a creative expression, which all of our students need to engage in. So, all right. But before we let you go, as promised, as always, I've got a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
Some rapid fire. So for those of you out there listening, Mackenzie did not get a huge head up because my fault, she didn't get a huge lead time on these questions. So here we go. So Mackenzie, what is the coolest project you've ever seen students create?
Okay, so selfishly, it is when I took my students to the National Educators Rising conference. They had worked on two separate projects. I took two. And one was a children's book about finding what makes you smile. And it was really geared towards this is not super rapid fire, but really geared towards students not just following their friends, but finding what makes them happy. And it's okay if it's different than what makes their friends happy. And so that was amazing. And then another told her story. She was in a competition where she told her story about what made her want to be a teacher. And it was really moving and really telling of her. And so super proud. And it was just amazing to watch them do that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
I can't wait
awesome.
To read that book. Okay. So name one person or resource you have learned a lot from.
Okay. This is probably generic and cliche answer, but I learned so much from people on Twitter. I follow a lot of amazing educators and just humans. And I am constantly learning and growing from the stuff that they're posting, the stuff that they're talking about. And then the ways that they engage with each other and that dialogue and how that looks. So constantly I'm on Twitter and nerding out with my educators.
Love it. What is the next thing you want to learn?
Okay, I would love to learn how to crochet. I don't have a lot of free time and I don't have a lot of free brain time. And I feel like crocheting would be something that I could do that kind of would just let my mind relax, which it needs to do. So sometime when I have the time to learn, I want to, so then I can have the time to let my brain relax.
Let me know. I love all things fiber arts. We can
crochet
together. It'll be great. Okay. So what is your favorite thing about teaching in the CAPS model?
Well, first of all, my favorite thing about teaching, period, is the students. But in the CAPS model specifically, it's allowing the world to see what I've always known high school students are capable of. I feel like I've always, since I started teaching high school, have always been like, I just wish that the outside world could see how amazing these kids are and what they're capable of and what they can do and what they think about. And CAPS does that daily. Innately. And so it's like coming to fruition of everything I've ever wanted to do with students exists in the CAPS model. So showing them off. I love it.
Awesome. That's so cool. Thank you so much.
Of
thank
course.
You for talking with us. And thank you all of there out there listening. I appreciate your time. Hopefully you can take some nuggets about how to apply this in your practice. Thanks for listening to the CAPS playbook and we'll talk soon. Bye.